Well, thank you for being with us this morning to come to Grace Bible Church to worship the Lord. And we're just delighted that you can be here. I see a Joanna O'Brien with us this morning, and she has a baby. How old is?
3 months.
3 months, yes. And we're just delighted to have you with us this morning. I think the Jenkins daughters have had a reunion this weekend over at the Jenkins place, so we're glad to have you in town. Is Susanna here as well? And I saw her babies. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for being here, and it's always great to see you. We're delighted with the gift that God has given to you, Joanna. What a beauty. So, well, let's take our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're just moving along here. We want to look this morning at the second set of instructions that were given to two groups of people. You'll remember that as we've walked through or gone through the book of Ephesians, that the instructions that was given in chapter 5 was that we were to walk wisely. And in order to do that, we are to understand the will or the word of God, and that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit or be controlled by the Spirit. So those people that walk wisely are those that have a knowledge or understanding of God's Word according to Ephesians 5:17. They are those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And then there were a list of things that were given, but the last on that list was that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit by being submissive to one another. And that is, of course, in Ephesians 5:21, that we're to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then the Apostle Paul begins to get down to the different facets of what that means in a church body. And he lists, first of all, husbands and wives. He addresses the ones that are in the order of things, because the husband is the head of the family. He addresses the wife first and tells the wife to be subject to your own husband as to the Lord, and that you are to be subject as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. And then he goes to the husbands. We looked at that last time. The husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And so this relationship where there's subordination, there are lines of authority within the church body, has to do with husbands and wives. And the husbands are to love the wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And then also it says, husbands, also you ought to love your wives as your own bodies. We looked at what that means last week, but basically it's Paul explaining what it means to be submissive to one another and how it actually functions in a church body. So he teaches husbands and wives how to relate in their roles to one another. And then in chapter 6 here, as we come to our passage this morning, we're going to look at his instruction for children obeying their parents, and that the fathers are not to provoke their children. They're in verse 4. And I hope to cover these four verses and look at what the instruction Paul gave in light of submitting ourselves to one another and how that would relate as to children submitting to their parents. So there's some great principles here. I hope that it will be a benefit to you in your walk with the Lord, and a blessing to you as we look at what God's will is for children this morning. So, if you'll look in chapter 6 and verses 1, I want to read through verses 4 to cover our passage this morning, and we'll come back and look at these verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, or I would say training and instruction or admonition of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And let's look at these verses. Look at the children's duty here. If you find your notes there, our passage is broken down basically into two commands that are given to the children. The children's duty is to, number one, obey their parents, and number two, honor their parents there in verse two. And there's a couple of phrases that describes what it means both to obey your parents and to honor your parents that we'll look at in our notes. But then in verse 4, it picks up and takes the second party there and addresses, it's funny how it changes. It just speaks to fathers here, but it addresses fathers to not provoke your children. And so there's two parts or two aspects to this command as well. Both of these are commands, as was for the children, that they are not to provoke their children to anger, and that they are to nurture or to raise your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So let's go back to verse 1 and look at what the Scripture says and look at this in a little more detail. But it says, children, obey your parents as in the Lord. And children is basically, there's a couple of words in Scripture that is used in the Greek language for children. There's huios or eos, which is for... It's not as a relational term as the one that's used here. It's tatekna, and that has to do with children and their relationship to their parents. These children are dependent, but evidently old enough to hear and understand the instruction that Paul gives for children and to obey the commands that Paul gave to them. And so there's a real sense in which the Apostle Paul in the letter here is addressing children. And so evidently in the church in the first century back there in Ephesus, when Paul wrote a letter, he knew that there was going to be the reading of this letter to the congregation, and there was some instruction that he gave to children. I think that's a good precedent for us, that there need to be times when we speak to our young people and when we speak to our children. I know we sent most of them out for children's church this morning, but perhaps it would have been a good time to have them in for this particular sermon since it's addressed specifically to them. But I'll just trust that parents, that you will be able to communicate these things, and it ought to be a passage that you take home and you teach to your families, and that they understand these principles. It helps if you sometimes have a pastor or someone that's on neutral grounds there to say these kind of things, because our flesh is as such that by nature we're not going to want to do this. Children, as well as the parents, and in these particular commands and admonitions that the Apostle Paul, or exhortation that the Apostle Paul gives to us, our flesh reacts against it, but that's the beauty and the glory of God's Word, is that it corrects us. It is a plumb line for our walk, how we are to walk with the Lord, and there's some real practical aspects of walking wisely, understanding what the Word of God is, but also knowing and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And part of that control means that we're submissive to authority that God places over us. That simple. And it's complicated only because of our sin natures, and because by nature we don't want to do the things that we should do before the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul gives exhortation, gives some scripture here, and some commands that are to be obeyed by children. So the children, those who are in relationship with their parents, that are under their authority, are old enough to understand these commands, or to obey. They're to obey their parents. Now, again, we've seen these commands that are given just replete through these passages of Scripture. The Apostle Paul keeps giving out these imperative verbs, and this verb is different from the one that's given to the ladies up there in verse 22, where they're to be subject It's a different word. This word has to do with obedience. And the word actually means, it's one of those compound Greek words where there's a preposition that means under, and it means to, akouo means to hear. So to hear under. And it's the idea of to hear under authority or to obey. What we're looking at here is basically the kind of thing that militarily speaking, their person is to carry out the orders, or to do what one is told, is the idea of this word, to hear under. It means to obey the commands of your parents. So children, it's not me speaking. It's not your parents speaking. The scripture says that you are to put yourself under the authority of your parents, that you are to obey their authority. And that means to do what you're told, to obey their commands. It's the idea, I've seen this at times, you've ever seen the parent, they get down and they know their child, and so they'll say, "Let me see your eyes. Look in my face." And I'll say, "Now I want you to listen to what I say," because they know there's been those times where, "Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I didn't know you wanted me to do that." And so they're very careful. And that's the idea of to listen under or to obey. It's to make sure that the instruction is clear and that there is communication there, so that they're hearing under, submitting under the authority, and listening to what the parent is teaching. Now, this is a learned behavior. It's not natural because of our fallen nature, right? That instruction is given out. It's trained into the children. Parents, it is important, and we'll get to you later on in our passage here this morning, but it's important to speak clearly and to be consistent in your instruction, right? If they're going to obey, it means to hear under, then it means that you need not only to be clear, but you need to be consistent with what you're telling them. That makes it a little bit easier for your children to be obedient and to follow the instruction and to hear under what you are telling them to do as parents. Okay, so let's look then back at our passage. Children, obey your parents. And then there's a phrase here, and this is really a point under obedience to parents in the Lord. The idea of obeying your parents in the Lord means it kind of goes back to our passage there in chapter 5 where it says, be subject to one another. To obey your parents in the Lord is the idea of in the enablement of the Lord. It means the person who is obedient is accomplished by the Lord, in the Lord. So the idea or the perspective there is that obedience to parents is in the dative phrase here would carry with it the idea of the personal agency of Jesus Christ. In Christ, do these things. Not natural, supernatural. By the grace of God, you're obedient to your parents, and you do it, again, the principle is walking wisely, understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is God's command in Scripture. The point is that you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. As you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you are enabled by God's grace to obey your parents and to put yourself under that authority. And you do it not only in the Lord or in the Lord's enablement by the filling of the Holy Spirit, but you do it acknowledging His sovereign lordship. In other words, you're saying, as I obey my parent, I'm obeying the Lord Jesus Christ because He told me to and He established this authority over me. I want you to understand this, as this can be a little tricky. But what you're doing when you obey your parents is you're saying, God, you are sovereign and this is the person that you put over me. So if you can kind of think of it in terms of military, sometimes that helps me to understand authority, the authority issue. Okay, the captain gets his order from the general, okay? And the captain says, okay, men, let's go take that hill. And so these guys, they get together and they say, well, you know, that hill's going to be kind of hard to take. I don't think I will take it. I think I'll stay behind. Well, it doesn't work that way. And it's the same way in spiritual matters, in matters of life. God has determined, He has ordained a structure of authority that is healthy for people. It's healthy for children. It's healthy for families. It's healthy for life with God. And if we understand the things that God has established for us and that they're for our benefit, we understand that even when and if there are times when our parents may not be right and may not be on, God still wants us to obey them and follow after them. Now, that is different from sinning. If it's a deliberate sin against God, then God is our ultimate authority. That's the only time when we can disobey authority, can step outside of authority. Otherwise, on all matters, in everything for wives, in everything for children, then you're to obey and put yourself under the authority. You can't question and should not question whether we should take the hill or not. You obey, you submit yourselves under that authority. And when you do, you're acknowledging, Lord, this is the authority that you've established over me, and so I'm submitting to you and submitting to this and trusting in your sovereignty that you will lead me the right way and that we will go the right way and I'm doing the right things. It is also a matter of pleasing. It's the scripture says, if you'll turn just over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, this is kind of a parallel passage that Paul sent another letter to the Colossian church, and he addresses the same issue with them, and so we can learn a little bit and the difference of the word there. He says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So I would say to you, children, that when you are obedient to the Lord, that it is well-pleasing to Him, and that is a legitimate motivation for obedience to your parents, right? Because I want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Because it is, according to the Apostle Paul, according to Scripture, well-pleasing to the Lord to be obedient to your parents. Now, we understand that our fleshly nature is such that this is going to be a battle. The Apostle Paul, when he gave this command, he was understanding, and get the picture here again, that being filled with God's Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, means that you are under submission to the authority that God places over you. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying here? Because this is a battle in our culture today. To be submissive is, in reality, the experience of being filled with God's Holy Spirit, being controlled by God's Holy Spirit, means that you are submissive to the authority that God places over you. Wives with husbands, children with parents, this is the reality of the command that is given in Scripture by God or by the Apostle Paul. So to please Him, it is pleasing to Him when you submit and you acknowledge God and your sovereignty. This is what you have established, you've set up for me, and I want to be filled with your Spirit. So, children, I want to ask you a question. This is a question that's directly to you from the Scripture. Do you want to be filled with God's Spirit? Do you want to walk and live your life being filled with God's Spirit? Well, one of the realities that are taught in Scripture is that if you're to do that, is that you need to learn and be exercised in submitting to your parents. Okay? That's an important lesson in Scripture. And it's something that's going to cut across the grain. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to naturally going to be your first reaction. but it's something that you develop in your life. And as you do, with that discipline in the Lord, God will bless you. There's a real special blessing when you, in the Lord, obey your parents. Let's look at the second point here. There's another phrase there in verse 1 that says, for this is right. Or this same word can be translated just. Okay? So it gives us a reason, doesn't it? Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. That means in the enablement of the indwelling Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus. We, being well pleasing to Him, obey our parents. But secondly, it says that we do that because it is just. The reason that we would submit or obey our parents is because it is just. Now, the natural law teaches us that it is just or right since parents provide for you. They put food on the table. My parents often told me, as long as you put your feet under our table, you do what we say. And there's a natural law that tells us, hey, that's just. That's right. That is appropriate. As long as they're paying for the clothes on my back, as long as they pay for the food that goes in my stomach, as long as I'm under the shelter of their roof, then it is important for me to realize that it is right. There's a natural law that says it is just for me to obey the rules of this house. Okay? So parents, don't make excuses. It is right. It is the right thing. I don't care what our culture says. We are not to be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we take the proper mindset because it is just. It is righteous. Special revelation of God's command is given in Scripture as well. So here we have God's Word telling us that it is just. Where did that come from? Thank you. I don't know if I got some feedback off of my guitar or what that was. I can't imagine that. But the idea is here that the Apostle Paul has given us a reason. He's telling us that it is just. There's a command that's given, so not only does it make sense, we can use human reason to say, if I live under my parents' roof, then it's appropriate for me to obey them, but there's a scriptural revelation that is given by God. Children, you're to put yourselves under the authority of your parents, to obey them. It's because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is the right thing. It's pleasing to God in Colossians 3:20. You might want to mark that verse in your Bible there to look at it. And also, you're learning the discipline of obeying your parents. And when you do that, you're learning the disciplines of obeying God. There's an automatic transfer there. Okay, listen now, because this is an important thing. When you learn to be exercised under the authority of obeying your parents, what that does is it transfers over. That's the way God designed the family. It's the way He intended it. And for your good health and benefit, God wants for you to learn the disciplines of obedience to Himself. And in order to do that, He gave you a very practical day-to-day experience. And that is the experience of putting yourselves under the authority of your parents. It's necessary for you. It's needful for your benefit and good health spiritually. Okay, let's look at verse 2 because we have a second command given. It's another imperative command. Each one of these imperative, present, active, imperative verbs means that we're to do it habitually. It is to be an ongoing action on our part. So we obey and then we honor our parents. And the scripture comes from the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5, 16. That command is repeated in scripture in those two places for certain. And it says, honor your mother or your father and your mother. Okay? A quotation or taken from the Old Testament. And so the idea of honoring your parents simply means to establish a value in honoring your parents, or to estimate worth to your parents. Okay? Basically, the idea means a price or value, and is often translated honor. Show value to your parents. When we say, how do I show value? How do I show honor to my parents? What is that all about? Well, that's the idea of expressing their worth, of estimating worth, counting out the price of what their worth is. And there's a very real sense, young people, children, in which you confirm, you ascribe honor, you ascribe the worth and value to your parents by the way that you treat them. If you honor them, if there's respect there. So it carries more than just obeying in the sense of strict obeying, but having a respect for your parents that is necessary, needful. You know, Matthew 27, verses 9 and 10 is a kind of an interesting passage where this word is used, and it helps to give a little bit of a perspective on what it means. It says in Matthew 27, 9 and 10, you can write that down or turn over and look at it if you want. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the honor, or it's actually translated, the price of the one whose price, or it's the same word, the honor of the one whose honor has been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for a potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Okay, so the prophecy that was given about the betrayal of Jesus Christ, about the fact that he would be honored with 30 pieces of silver, is a description or an ascription of the fact that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. That he was despised and rejected by his own people. That he was not honored. But then again, it turns around and Philippians chapter 2, it says that he who became, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but became a man and dwelt among us, throwing things all together there. But there it says, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. So honor was ascribed to Jesus Christ by his heavenly Father. He was the lack of honor was described by the price that they paid for his ransom, the 30 pieces of silver. But you get a picture of honor when you honor your parents. It is describing the worth, ascribing worth to them. And when you respect them, when there is that respect and obedience and in following after their leadership and acknowledging their efforts in regard to your raising, then that's a way that you honor your parents. There's special revelation of God's command in Scripture that in the Old Testament law, children that strike or curse parents were executed according to Exodus 21 verses 15 and 17. A lack of honor shown to the parents was a very serious thing under the Old Testament law. Okay, so we don't recommend that today. It was Old Testament law in the Promised Land, but nonetheless, it shows the very serious nature that God established through Moses, in which children were to not only obey but also to honor their parents. Let me say this, young men. If a girl does not honor her father, if she's not obedient to her father, if she does not submit to her father and her family, then she's not going to submit to her husband. And so if you're looking at a serious relationship with someone that is rebellious, that hasn't learned and become exercised in putting themselves under, in obedience, their parents, and under that authority and honor their parents in that kind of way, I'm going to tell you that they're not going to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And you're going to have problems in any type of marriage or relationship in that regard. Okay? So honor your parents. That means to recognize and establish their value And that's, you can do that in many ways, but sometimes it's just good to tell your parents you appreciate them and to recognize or to acknowledge that they're making their best efforts because they love you. And normally, in the normal Christian home, you have parents that are very conscientious and concerned about how you're being raised. And despite the fact that they may have their problems and have areas in their sin nature and all of those things which can be excuses for you, you must learn to step back in a mature way, look at it and say, you know, in the overall picture here, my parents really care for me. And they care about what's happening in my life, and they're invested, and therefore they deserve that honor. They deserve the respect that should be given to them as a child. Look at the next phrase here. It says, which is the first commandment with a promise. And I could spend a little bit of time with this, but keeping this command brings a promise is the point. It is noted that in many of the commentaries, some of the commentators say, well, the second commandment also has a promise. If you don't commit idolatry, then the loving kindness of the Lord will be with your life and that type of thing. But the idea here is that there's that's kind of a general statement, but this is a direct promise that's given to children. Children, you honor your parents, and that's the first promise that is given with, that's the first commandment that's given with a promise. That means that there's others in the Old Testament law that was given that there's a promise with. But a blessing or a promise is connected with honoring your parents. And many promises, with, different commands are given, but this is the first one. And so it has some weight, some significance. And in reality, in my personal experience, I can attest to the fact that this is a very important command that's given and is necessary for our good health. In fact, I've known many, and I remember my professor, Professor Hendricks, Prof. Hendricks at Dallas Seminary, saying, you know, I've sat down with many very intelligent and talented young men, and I've had conversations with them in which it's very clear that despite all of the talents and everything that they have together, that they have, that something's amiss, that they can't seem to piece their lives together. And if you really dig down into the heart of the issue, it is their relationship and their family is messed up, and they have violated some basic biblical principles about submission to their parents. And that relationship, because it has been so messed up, and it's caused just in some ways almost irreparable damage and insecurity and things that normally someone with the talents and the intelligence would be able to work their way through life. But they have these ongoing nagging problems that cause trouble. But the promise is, look at the second phrase there in verse 3. It says that the results of that for honoring your parents and that given with the promise is that it may be well with you. So there are two results here. One is that it's well with you, and the second is that you may have long life upon the earth. That it may be well with you means that there will be stability and discipline for peace, security, and healthy relationships, not only in your family, but in society. There will be a stability in your life that is the result of having proper relationship with your family. I think that God saw to it that when I graduated from college, there were certain set of events that took me back home. It was necessary for me to go back home to take care of certain relationships with my parents because I left in complete rebellion, and I was in trouble until I came to understand these principles, and then God took me back home. And I went back to my parents, and it was not an easy thing. It was a difficult process and took a number of years and a bit of time, but it was an important thing for me to get my relationship there right. And as I did, there was a freedom that I've experienced has been a blessing. It went well with me. And whereas before I couldn't get things together, I didn't know what God's will for my life was. Everything was in a mess. There was this constant wavering and lack of peace. Lack of peace is often a sign that you're in rebellion toward authority that God has placed over you. And when those things are resolved, there's peace. It's just that simple. But I'm telling you that this is a reality. It will go well with you when you're in right relationship with those authorities that God has placed over you, when you're in right relationship with your parents. And also it says, again, that being filled with the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is peace, right? So being filled with God's Spirit, being controlled by God's Spirit in submission to those that are in authority over us, there's peace. If that's gone, there's lack of peace. So submission to the authority is really the path to well-being. And so it will be well with you. Second point is that you may live long upon the earth. This is a general truth. Some people die early. Some people, God numbers their days and they go home early. But the general truth is that it will not only go well with you, but that you will live long upon the earth. Now, in the Old Testament, it says that you will live long in the land that God has promised to you. So it was directly related to the Old Testament law and the fact that God had given or allotted to them as an inheritance land. But Paul is taking this and clearly carrying it over to believers, to Gentile believers, who have been promised no land. We haven't been promised any land. We're not in a covenant with God to receive promised land. You know, we are, as believers, told that we will reign with Christ and that there will be a time in the future as the bride of Christ that we'll reign with him. But that's there. I believe that this passage of Scripture, it says, upon the earth, is speaking about a long lifetime. It's speaking about principles that, as a general truth, means that we'll live a longer life, and that makes sense if we're living with the stress of a lack of peace and at war with every person that's in authority over us. We're going to have trouble, and our life's going to be shortened. If we have peace and we enjoy the experience of God's grace and the filling of His Spirit under the authority that God has placed over us, then we will be healthy in general. The Old Testament meant that promised land to the Jews, but here upon the earth has to do with Gentiles experiencing a long temporal life, barring any extra things that come up. So, okay, I wanted to get to the Father's duty this morning, but it's already 12 o'clock, and so rather than press on and finish this last verse, there's so many principles there. And I'm going to come back and just teach off of this, probably this last verse, as far as the Father's duty next time, since I was not able to finish that this morning. But this is an important message for our young people. We want to make sure that it's being taught here. It's countercultural. I like it. I don't know if you do or not, but everybody outside of this place is telling us how we ought to be, and we're saying, no, we're going to be what God's Word tells us to be. We'll raise our children, parents. It is appropriate to discipline your children. The Scripture in Proverbs says the spare of the rod is to spoil the child. Sometimes they need to be spanked. The world doesn't want you to spank them. Our culture, secular humanism, doesn't want you to spank your children. You need to spank your children at times. And those times, the biblical principle in Proverbs is that when they're in rebellion, that you meet rebellion with corporal spanking or punishment. Okay, and that is not ever at any time the exercise of force or power out of control. It is a controlled discipline that it is that meets and breaks rebellion, and it is necessary and needful for our families And so there are many principles in regard to obedience that we'll look at, and some things maybe that we can address next week. Let me just say this as well. There's this passing relationship. I think Tony's down here, and he has a daughter that's going to get married. When his daughter gets married, that authority over her is going to transfer. It means that when not only when the husband leaves his family and cleaves to his wife, they become a new unit, and they're responsible as each one, each family is responsible. Head title become the head of that family, and he'll be over Alicia, and Alicia will be responsible as a wife to submit. And so God has a structure for us. He has authority in place, and these things are for our benefit. And it's intended for there to be good relationship and good health in our church body. And when we're filled with the Spirit and God is controlling us, then there's the proper things that are taking place in the right relationship that is very neat thing, a very blessed thing. And so we're excited for Todd and Alicia. Is it next Sunday? Next Sunday they'll be married. I have one other thing to share with you this morning. Lyle, I want to ask you to come on up, walk up if you would. We have a brother and sister that are moving. They've been with us in their young married life. John and Catherine are moving to Conroe, and they'll be closer there to headquarters with Child Evangelism Fellowship and close to Catherine's home. But they're planning, they're actually moving this week and actually going to be moving there in that area. So what we wanted to do is have them up and pray over them and give you as we do that, I'm going to ask Sandy to come after we're going to close in a hymn, and then John and Catherine, if y'all just stay up front, let people come and greet you. We'll do that way. But we wanted to pray over them and ask God's blessing for them. John is involved in CES, and Catherine as well. She's been raised up in it, and they'll be there with Gospel Lakes and doing many of the things. John's become like Benny's right-hand man, I think. So, but we want to keep praying for them, and we're going to commit to praying for you not only now and being with you guys, but we want you to know how much we love you, and we'll pray that things, the transition goes well, and you'll be missed here. But they're going to be coming back and forth. John will still be over this area, so we'll see them from time to time, and we hope that you'll visit often. So if you'll come forward, Lyle and I will pray over you guys, and then Sandy, why don't you come up as well? You can pray with us, and then you can leave or close in our hand here.